Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. Here is Corey Hawley in this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 17, Number 12. This edition features highlights taken from our 2018 special guest interviews. Each one of the following special guest excerpts is derived from complete interviews accessible at CoreyHawley.com/SNU. So if you listen to a great piece and you want to find out more about that person and listen to their entire interview, just go to the website and dig in. Okay, so let's begin. My first featured guest is Eldon Dole. Eldon is the founder and CEO of Life Choice Limited. He graduated as a naturopathic doctor in 1988. What are some of the principles that you live by and teach as a naturopathic doctor?
Well, I would sum it up pretty well by prevention. To deal with the health issues from a state of power rather than a state of weakness. And this is where natural medicine really is in a nutshell, is trying to prevent something from happening. And if something is there, then you deal with it on a holistic manner, not treating the symptom, but treating the core issue where it stemmed from.
Next is Nina Teicholz. Nina is an investigative journalist and author of the International and New York Times bestseller, The Big Fat Surprise.
I think your background in biology and science as a general is extremely relative and important. So give a synopsis of what you think science is. What does it mean to you? What does that word mean to you?
Well, I don't think anybody's ever asked me that. I think that science done properly is an incredibly important endeavor of the human mind to try to make sense out of the observations that we see, how to understand the world. But it's so complicated in nutrition science because nutrition is such a hard science to do, right? Very hard to get people to change their diet, stick to another diet. So nutrition science has been a complicated field that has been, I would say, really dominated by bad science because of the difficulties in doing the science well. And it's a field where science has to be, I would say, humbled by the contribution that history can make. So, you know, scientists tend to get very committed to the idea of randomized controlled clinical trials. That's the gold standard. In nutrition, we also have the whole human record going back to really Paleolithic times about what humans ate when we were healthy before the epidemics of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. And that historical anthropological record really must be brought to bear on making conclusions about a healthy diet as well. So it's a much more holistic picture about how various different academics can come to bear on the question of what is a healthy diet.
My next guest is Michael Hawley. Michael has been working the stages of Las Vegas since 1987 and around the world as a juggler and comedian. In his spare time, he's a high school pole vault coach.
Your website is secretsofthechampions.com. So tell us about that and tell us about some of the things you've learned by studying some of these champions.
Here's what happened. Years ago, I was playing tennis. I was watching, I think, Boris Becker on television. Watch him play in one of the great tournaments. Just inspired, motivated to go out and play some tennis. And I loved playing tennis. I went out to my court. I played tennis. And I was my normal, mediocre tennis self. And I was thinking, well, what is he doing to be so good compared with me? And I answered my own question, and the answer was, I have no idea what Boris Becker actually does to practice to be great at something. So I thought that would be fun and interesting and valuable for people to know exactly what these people do. And I combine that with an irritation that I have experienced with a lot of people, even with teaching juggling, is they'll try it once and they'll drop the balls and they'll go, well, obviously I'm not good. And they'll never try it again. And somewhere along the line, we as humans develop that thought in our heads. And we weren't born with that thought for sure. In my juggling workshops now, I talk to the people about, I want you to practice today in our workshop like a great big baby. And they kind of laugh and they go, oh yeah, like screaming and whining and crying and all that. And I say, no, that's exactly the opposite of what I'm talking about. If you watch a baby learn to walk, that baby will never stop trying. It sees what it wants. It sees its parents or brothers and sisters walking. It says, I want to do that. And it pulls itself up on a leg or couch, a table chair leg or whatever it finds, and keeps trying and never cries, never says, I can't, and never says, forget it, I'm not going to learn how to do that. It has such a great attitude. And then somewhere along the line, we get another thought in our head that is far more powerful. And that thought is, well, if I don't get it on this first try, forget it. I'm never going to get it. And that's really frustrating. And so I wanted to combine those two concepts to make this website, this program, where people can tune in and watch what athletes do to realize that they practice tiny little elements every day. And they do it every day. And they don't give up. And they don't get frustrated. And they just keep going. And they do a lot of analysis, the video like we talked about before. They have a good coach there that can be an eye, an outside eye to give them help. And they keep going at it. And I think that's why I wanted to do this project. So that other people will get that thought out of their head, which is try it, fail, quit, and understand that it takes a long time. It takes correct action in order to do it well. And you're not born with it. Nobody's born with it. And you know, maybe you're born tall or you're born short or whatever a particular sport might give you an advantage in. But in general, you're not born with learning how to pole vault or throw the hammer or be a gymnast or anything. It takes a lot of smart planning and effort to succeed at it, and then you will. And I don't think people understand that.
Next in line is Dr. Joan Vernakos. Joan is the former director of NASA's Life Sciences. She's an author, health coach, consultant, and motivational speaker who presents on topics related to healthy living and healthy aging.
What you're saying then about gravity, because I've always thought of it as a negative. I think you're saying it's a positive in the same way that oxidation, radiation, entropy. People ask me, Corey, what causes the demise of everything that exists? Mm-hmm. And these are natural forces in physics. Yes. And of course, I've studied oxidation pathways on a cellular level and different theories about anti-aging and longevity, etc. Are you saying at the end of the day that mm-hmm. gravity is more of a plus than a minus for health and longevity?
If you're going to live on Earth, as most of us are, then gravity is the natural force, our stimulus for life on Earth. For life on Earth, I'm not just talking humans. Okay? And it depends on what we do relative to gravity, to whether we take advantage of this stimulus or allow it to harm us. Like anything else, you know, in excess, it's going to harm us. Too much gravity is not good for you either. What's interesting that we've seen in space is that we thought that all these changes that we see in space and we see in bed rest, the loss in muscle, inhibition of protein synthesis in muscle, the loss of bone, the relative dehydration, which is a decrease in blood volume. Every single cell and every system in the body is affected by the absence of gravity.
The next three interview clips feature martial arts experts. Sifu Lamar Davis is the head instructor at Hardcore Jeet Kune Do Academy in Oneonta, Alabama, where he teaches group classes, monthly seminars, and training camps.
Let's talk about the training itself, the practicing, because all athletic activity involves practice and training for the sport or for the martial arts. Right. So let's talk about how you practice and what goes on. Let's say I come to your place of activity and I'm going to do a workout. What's a typical workout like?
We always start out with working on our footwork because footwork is important. Bruce Lee once said, if you can't move, you can't fight. So it's all about being able to move, being where you need to be when you need to be there, yet not being there when you don't need to be there. And that's what footwork is going to do for you. So we always start off working on footwork. Then we go into working on the basic punching and kicking structure. Then we may go into some different area of training. Like Jeet Kune Do has several different areas of training that we can go into. What we call energy and sensitivity training. We could work on Bruce Lee's five ways of attack. We could work on the area of training that we call trapping hands. We have what we call stop kicking, which is using a kick to stop a kick from an opponent or to stop this person from advancing towards you. And then we could also do, say, focus glove or focus mitt drills, which you see boxers and MMA guys doing this kind of stuff all the time, where the person holding the glove, the trainer's holding the gloves for them and they're punching the gloves. We could go into some of that, in other words, what we call impact training. Or we could actually go into the full-on sparring. We wear headgear, gloves, we wear shin guards. Any other protective gear is optional. But everything is geared toward practicality, and it's based on simplicity and directness. So it's very simple, very direct, very effective.
Sensei Ryan Christopher owns two martial arts schools in the Lower Mainland, including Coquitlam Martial Arts and Burnaby Vancouver Jiu-Jitsu.
What about conflict in marriage? Would you suggest jiu-jitsu as a good technique?
I would suggest jiu-jitsu just because it's a great outlet. You know, it's a place that you can go where you have different problems. And you know what? I really found that it helped me just be more calm and patient. Because when someone, like at the beginning of my jiu-jitsu, would be in the top position holding me down and I couldn't get out, it was a little bit claustrophobic. You know what I mean? Like it's weird being in these positions where you can't get out of and you're stuck there. So it makes you really just stop and think and relax and be able to technically get out of these situations, which I use in life. Now I'm just a lot more relaxed as a person. And when something happens, I kind of sit back and think more technically rather than be more emotional. Where the same thing in jiu-jitsu. At first, when I was a white belt, if I was stuck, I would be going crazy, like trying to buck the person off and doing things that weren't technical and still being held there. Finally, when I was able to just relax and use my techniques, I was able to get out of the situations.
Master Aaron Turnbull is the founder and owner of Mantis MMA, a mixed martial arts academy located in Queensland, Australia. What happened in your life that led to the creation of your own school? What motivated you and how did it all happen?
Well, it's a tough one because, you know, like I really loved training under my master and I trained under him for 18 years and he was like a father to me, but I felt like I needed to be the boss. I needed to be like, make my own mistakes. And I had a lot of dreams and goals and ideas because his academy was 60 years old. To make any changes in there was like, you know, what they say, like, it's like driving a bus. To make one little change took a huge effort. Whereas if I go and did my own thing, it'd be like driving a Ferrari. I could pivot and turn and change things and get super creative. And all those ideas that had built up over the years, I had a chance and opportunity to start playing around with. And that's where I felt like I had my true freedom. In my head, I felt like I had this, I don't know, like you said, with this DNA thing, there's something in me that just said, Aaron, you need to create the ultimate martial arts experience for people. From when they're 3 years old to when they have their last breath. You know what I mean? Like, what would be the ultimate martial arts experience? And the way that I was going, it wasn't congruent. And I felt like there was something inside me that was dying. It just felt like I needed to break free. And as much as I love my Sifu and the other masters and students that I trained with, it was just something I felt like I had to do at the time. And it was very hard. It was the hardest decision I ever made. It was almost like a divorce. But once it did happen, it was all of a sudden this massive black cloud was taken off me. It was almost like a depression was lifted. And that's nothing negative towards my master and his school and anything like that. It was just something that was in me that needed to be done. It was no one's fault. And yeah, I just bit the bullet. I held on for as long as I could and just something inside me was like, you know, it's time, you got to do it. So I went out on my own, which is a bit scary too, because for 18 years you've been under this really massive organization that's really well oiled and everything, and then to go out on your own and not know what's going to happen tomorrow. but also having that excitement saying, well, I could do anything I want. I've got a blank canvas.
Now let's switch things up a bit. My next guest is Susan Chizzo. Susan is an orthopedic physiotherapist and Pilates instructor based in Toronto. Where are people at these days? Are they really doing a great job of self-management, or is that something they're just really lacking in, based on your experience?
There's a range. There's definitely some that are at that very motivated stage and they really want to get better. So they take everything I give them and take the advice and do the exercises. But then there's the other spectrum is there as well. There's probably more towards the other end of the spectrum where people will say, I did some of the exercises, but I didn't do as much as you told me to, for instance. And I recognize that's not the only thing going on in their lives. They are busy, they have families, they have jobs, there's potentially other areas of stress involved. So I would say we could definitely do better on that front. So we as therapists have to recognize where people are at in terms of their motivation. Yes, they've come to doesn't necessarily mean that they're ready to do much more than that. So they might be expecting you to heal their problem just through your work, but we have to tell them that that's not the way it works. So what usually helps if we educate and say, this is a two-way street, and in the half an hour or whatever it is that I see you for, but there has to be something on your end. Otherwise, we're probably going to stall progress.
The next clip is from Alvin Tam. Alvin discovered the National Circus School in Montreal and ended up crossing the globe several times as an acrobatic performer, coach, and actor. In terms of the actual training, give us an idea of a typical workout when you're training to get in shape to do what you do. I know that you must do more than just do the feats themselves. There's got to be backup and grunt work. Talk about that.
Well, I can summarize what our training was like in one word, and that word was spoken to me by my Russian coach. When I started my second year, I'd specialized in a discipline called hand-to-hand, where I worked with a partner and I would throw my partner in the air, catch her, balance her on my head, those kind of things. And there was literally one word our coach would say to us for the entire year, and we would train 2 hours a day at least with him, and it was the word again. And that was it. Things were neither good nor bad, and there was very little advice given. It was just, again, the training was extremely intense. It was all new for me because prior to entering the circus school when I was 18, I had no gymnastic background at all. So I was in shape. I was eager to learn. I had a background in martial arts, so I was coordinated. I was fairly flexible, but I didn't have any acrobatic background. So everything I tried was new, and the training was over the top. It was the first 2 weeks of training after the summer. Everybody was sore to the bone, and we would train 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for 10 months. And then the 2 months off in the summertime would be dedicated to shows or part-time performance jobs, and then back at school again. That was pretty much the regime. We would do our disciplines, and whether you were a trampolinist, or in my case, I was a hand-to-hand specialist and a Chinese pole specialist. And then there were all the general classes. So think of any kind of university or academic course. Instead of mathematics, you would have trampoline. Instead of social studies, you'd have dance class. And that's how we would rotate through the day. And we would also have conditioning class. So on top of all the physical activity we did to learn our disciplines, we'd have an hour of just straight conditioning, climbing ropes, push-ups, sit-ups, leg raises, and all that kind of stuff.
Now here's a great clip from John Huddert. John is a high-end sports performance coach and master's athlete. In addition to coaching and participating in several extreme sports, including hang gliding, mountain biking, and sport bike motorcycle racing, John teaches alpine ski racing. What about people your age? Are they all as active as you, and why not? What would you tell people about not using their age as an excuse not to be active and aggressive in these kinds of extreme sports?
Myself and another fellow, the old guys in the group, most of the guys are in their early 60s or in their 50s, and I think the camaraderie, the relationship for friendships, the getting out and doing things, doing it as a group, really helps to motivate. If you're doing it by yourself, say you go mountain bike by yourself, which I enjoy doing, but I really enjoy doing it with the group of people. And I think that people connection really, really helps to stay motivated to continue on, because myself and this other fellow, his name's John as well, and we call him the lung because he's unbelievable on a bike. We motivate those younger guys, and I'm motivated by riding with the younger guys. So it's a great mix of group activities that keep me going for years down the road.
And finally, here's the one and only Peter Twist. Peter is one of the most successful trainers and performance coaches of all time. His business, Twist Sport Conditioning, is a world-class training and performance facility in Vancouver, Canada.
The thing that comes to mind, Peter, and I've seen this time and time again in our business, is that when you get more and more involved in business management and all of the stuff, which is almost endless, that's associated with growth, how do you make time for wellness and not get caught up in what others seem to get caught up in, meaning they get away from the training and they get away from eating clean? How do you manage yourself in the busyness of your life?
I guess I'd reference two things on that so it's relatable to folks. You know, I never do it perfectly 365. And, you know, I get in a good groove and then I start to fall off a little bit. And I think I've just got a shorter set of reins. And, you know, if you look at the reins that you pull on a horse to get it to stop, and, you know, if I get off track, maybe I put on 5 or 10 pounds of body fat. I'm not eating as healthy to keep my cells as happy and my mind as peaceful. I'm starting to work out less or lighter. I might fall into that for a while, Corey, but then I've got a short set of reins and I put on the brakes and I just stop in reverse direction and get it going. And so it's always within reach for me. And then, you know, when I get it back, I set a positive intent every day just to win the day and get a little bit better every day. I'm wearing a wristband right now that says better every day. And so I just look to the small things every day. I believe in the best way you can be generous to the people around you is to be selfish and take care of yourself. Because if I'm so overweight, I can't move around, or I'm sick, or I'm in pain and dysfunction, if I'm grumpy, negative, you know, short-tempered, all those type of things, I'm not giving my best to everybody around me, no matter how much I carry the badge of honor that I'm too busy to work out and eat healthy and I'm taking care of everyone else. I'm actually not being fair to them. It's most fair for me to take care of myself, make sure I'm healthy, I'm in the game, I'm strong, fit, I'm peaceful, positive, patient, passionate, and then I can show up for everyone and give them my best. I believe that's true love. That's being generous.
Well, that's it for this edition of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from philosopher and Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius. I have often wondered how it is that every man loves himself more than all the rest of men, yet sets less value on his own opinions of himself than on the opinions of others.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik, with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.